What's up, everyone? Tyler Dunn here at Go Long. Thank you so much for reading everything at GoLongTD.com and listening to the podcast here, whether it's at Go Long, Apple, Spotify, YouTube. We greatly appreciate it. A ton of NFL draft coverage ramping up right now. Bob McGinn's 40th annual series launches next week, so make sure you are subscribed to GoLongTD.com to access everything. My goodness, you're going to love this conversation. Joey Molinaro, the exceptional comedian, impressionist. He is going to be in Buffalo, New York, downtown Helium Comedy Club this coming Wednesday. So make sure you head on over to the Helium website or the link right here at Go Long to get some tickets for that show. You're not going to want to miss it. And this conversation was just one of my all-time favorites that we've had. A hell of a lot of fun. We talk comedy, life, kids, his inspiration, how he got into this, and where it's headed, and a ton of Seinfeld, of course. So I hope you enjoy. Here is Joey Molinaro. Thanks, everyone. The man, the myth, the legend, Joey Molinaro. Dude, it is awesome to have you here on the Go Long podcast. Thank you so much for fitting us in. We got to say it at the top. Helium Comedy Club, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Make sure you're there if there's still tickets to be sold, because it is not going to disappoint. Joey, how in the hell you doing, man? It is awesome to have you here.
Man, thanks for fitting me in, dude. I got the you gave me the office guy intro there, the man, the myth, the legend, you know, the thing you say to all the dudes that you run into at the water cooler. I love it. That is my
brutal
world.
Isn't that brutal? Like, I mean, I got to do, you know what? Let's start right here, okay? Your tweet on Jerry Jones got me thinking about how we really should introduce you, because that was amazing. You know, he's at the owner's meeting, right? He's got the gut hanging over the notebook. He's just scribbling on it, nonsensical. And you wrote, this is still going to put me in tears. Your great grandpa, you always were a little afraid of as a kid at a family gathering, but your parents made sure you said hi. Just perfect. Oh, yeah. But you, Joey, you are the cool uncle that you feel a gravitational pull to at every family function, you know, that you just want to hang. For me, and my wife's family, it's Lou Sabo. We always end up talking about sports cards forever. But that's Joey. I mean, you just want to be drawn to Joey and just hang out with him, you know, on Christmas Eve. So there we go. You're the cool uncle to America.
I appreciate that. That's great. Yeah, it's like, hey, when you're, you know, before you're 21, maybe he'll buy you some booze. Maybe he'll sneak you a drink underneath the table when your mom's in the other room, right? Like, I can live with that. I got a nephew now. My sister had a kid last year, so I'm officially a real cool uncle now. So I take great pride in that, man. Absolutely. I can live with that. Thank you.
And a father, right? I mean, how's that going?
Father of two, man. It's insane. It's like I don't even, my days are nights, my nights are days. I haven't slept in 2 years. It's just like extended naps. That's all it really is, in the most uncomfortable positions, because I have a newborn, and then I have an almost a year and a half old, and so like now he's trying to sleep in the bed with us, you know, when he gets scared at night or whatever. So he's kicking me in the ribs or wanting to lay on top of me, and it's just crazy, but it's the best. You know, it is. It's like so cliche. Everyone says it, but all the craziness and the non-sleeping and everything, like I'm just having so much fun, you know. And he's learning something new every day. The baby girl's growing and is great. So, and it's giving me a lot of material. So that works well for me too.
I was going to say, I'd love to see you as the friend who already has two kids, letting you know as the second kid's on the way that it's a game changer, right? Because you hear that from everybody. It's a game changer. Yeah. 1 to 2. But it's true. Your life completely changes in every possible way.
Well, yeah, the thing that I hear is, you know, hey, 1 to 2, now you're man to man. Okay. Now you're cat on cat defense. 2 to 3, then it's a zone. Okay, now you and your wife are playing cover 2, and you're trying to make sure nobody beats you over the top. So we're still in the man-to-man zone, right? Yeah. We're still good. I got my cat. I take my son. She takes the little daughter. And we've got a nice little system working out there. And we're good for now. We're gonna take a little breather, hopefully catch our breath, get our head above water before maybe we do number three or four or whatever. Whatever happens.
Oh, I remember like when we had Sonny, I was up in the spare bedroom some nights with Ella. My wife is down with Sonny. It's like I'm writing the book and working at Go Long, and it like Survive in Advance works, but I think DA put it best at Mad Dog. He said, you take what the defense gives you, right? You just, you see what the coverage is. Every day is different, right? Maybe they're sending the engage eight, right? Maybe you go for broke. You have some, but maybe you just have to run the ball. I know you're a Steelers fan. You just hand it to Najee Harris, 30 times, and it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah, and then Jalen Warren is a nice change of pace. Sometimes you just have to, sometimes you just have to hand it to Jalen Warren. Sometimes you got to give the kid some nerd gummy clusters, all right? Like, it is what it is. He's a year and a half. If people want to judge me for it, fine. But if it gets him happy and peaceful and not running around like a madman, give him the nerd gummy clusters every now and then, Sometimes you just got to give Jalen Warren the ball instead of Najee. That's just how it goes.
Well, I mean, what's the Cocoa Melon equivalent would be like, I don't know, you're drafting Lawrence Phillips, I guess, fifth overall. Like you're taking a gamble on the ultimate red flag. I hope the Cocoa Melon's under control, Joey, and you haven't gone that road.
We're not Cocoa Melon, haven't even introduced it. We are all Miss Rachel. We are actually surprisingly a throwback. Barney is a hit with my son. He loves Barney.
Same.
I feel kind of cheated because I'm just realizing that Miss Rachel is just completely ripped everything that Barney was doing back in our childhood. And now she just does all the same songs and jingles and activities and everything without being a cool purple dinosaur. So that's been an interesting revelation for our family is like, we'll go for Miss Rach and she's doing, Wheels on the Bus and Bingo and all that. And then we turn on Barney and he's doing the same thing 30 years prior. And I am kind of like, man, I don't know, Miss Rach, like you have all this hype. You couldn't come up with your own shit.
Brutal. Brutal. I mean, I think Barney should sue. Barney should really lay down the law here. That's uncalled for.
Well, he's kind of had I think we might be on the end of that cycle though. We might be on the end of the bad Barney PR cycle. Do you remember he had that documentary that came out last year, I believe, that was like I Love You, You Hate Me?
They got Barney. I mean, so it's not just Nickelodeon. I didn't know about Barney too.
Yeah, it was a weird Barney. I can't. But it was bad. Like Barney was kind of in a bad light a little bit. But I think he's coming back on the other end. I think he's gone through the hit piece. Now he's in the coming out on the other side part. I think, at least in our house, he is because we watch him every day.
Did he hold a press conference? Did Barney have a press conference and admit this that he has changed? He's a changed Barney.
I didn't see one. I didn't even know what the allegations were. I just know that there was some sort of documentary out there where everybody apparently was hating Barney. And you can't keep up these days, Ty.
You
people are canceling Barney. We got, OJ just died. Who knows what the hell is going on? It's all craziness.
So what's the scene really like in your house, Joey? I mean, because you got to practice all of these unbelievable impersonations. I mean, and your stand up, and I mean, imagine so much research goes into it. You're watching the film. Really, like you're Mike Tomlin, probably just grinding the all 22 on Tony Romo and Howard Stern and Patrick Mahomes, all these amazing voices you do. But I'm trying to picture you with like two kids this young, and you're just like walking around the house doing these voices like a crazed animal, right? Some rabid beast in the wild. So what does it look like in Joey's household?
Well, luckily we purchased a house in February of 2022, my wife and I, and it has a basement. And for most dudes my age, that would be used as their man cave, their getaway zone type of deal. But for me, it was really important to have that so I could have a safe space to go down and talk to myself in different voices on camera. And so that is my area, and that is where I come down to. That is my safe space. That's where I am right now. But my wife she gives me a hard time because sometimes I'll slip into a character without even really realizing it, you know? And so, like, you know, sometimes she'll be talking about dinner, and all of a sudden I'll be like, yeah, I think it's a pretty good idea if we have chicken. She's like, did you just give me Collinsworth a little bit? I'm like, damn, I'm sorry. I apologize. I think I just did. Or, like, one of the ones that, like, if we get into a debate about anything or, like, parenting, I found myself just naturally slipping into Cowherd. So, like, she'll be talking about, like, I think that we should put him in his pajamas. I'm like, why is that? Why do you think that we should put him in his pajamas when he's perfectly comfortable with where he is right now, sir? And she's like, wait a second. That laugh and that reasoning right there, you gave me a little Cowherd metaphor. I'm like, damn it, right. So the ones I try to stay away from with her really are Gus Johnson, because he's just so loud in everything that he does, and Howard Stern, because she just doesn't appreciate the vulgarity from him. But
okay,
Collinsworth, Cowherd, even Kuiper. I've gotten Kuiper sometimes. She's just like, that was a little... She's like, who's that guy who does the NFL draft stuff that you do? I'm like, Kuiper? She's like, yeah, you gave me a little bit of that. I'm like, damn. So it is a thing, and it's one of those that, like, I just got to make sure that I flip the switch off before I come upstairs. Totally off. Get it all out of me so that I don't slip into it with the missus.
So that's organic. I mean, you're not even really purposely slipping into Mel Kiper zone. It just kind of happens.
It just like, yeah. And it, I kind of just said, right. Yeah. I think a little bit of slipping into Mel Kiper when I'm talking to the wife, talking about dinner, talking about taking out the trash while she's not doing it. It does, especially, like, you know, if I'm in a space or doing a video, like I have here recently, where I've been doing, like, yeah, I did. I put one out not too long ago that was like 15 impressions and 100 seconds or whatever. Oh, yeah. It was. And so it was just like all continuous. And so from there, my mind kind of doesn't shut off in a little bit of ways. But yeah, it's something that, you know, I have to applaud my wife. Not many significant others, I think, have to really deal with that. You know, that's another, how does she relate to her friends? You know, her friends are like, oh God, he wants to golf all the time. Oh God, you know, he doesn't take out the trash when I want him to. And she's just like, yeah, well, my husband talks to me and these weird ass voices, and I don't know what to do about it. So I got to make sure I turn it off for her.
I would think it helped though on some of those sleepless nights, right? When you've got the newborn and you're losing your mind, you're losing your sanity. You know, you're trying to get a nap here, get a nap there, feed here, feed there. And you can just kind of slip into a Kuiper routine and, you know, kind of analyze the situation like you're breaking down, you know, a 3-4 nose tackle or something.
No. See, no. She doesn't appreciate that. Maybe when we were first together, she might have gotten a chuckle. But now it's like, please shut the hell up. I don't need, when you open up a diaper, for you to say, oh, wow, like Gus Johnston, or make a scene like that. She's like, just please shut your mouth and get the job done, and so we can move on and hopefully have some sanity back into our lives.
You said, right, you got to separate work and play.
You said that your son, your daughter, Sonny?
Yeah, so our 4-year-old daughter's Ella, and our 2-year-old is Sonny, Serafino.
A boy.
Yes, yes. Sonny, right.
Dude, that's so funny, because that's like one of my dreams in life is to, like, me and my wife, we're really big on the name Sonny, and I'm really big on the name Santino from The Godfather.
Yes.
Santino Corleone, James Caan. So when you said that, that got me really fired up, because it's like, yeah, I mean, so my son is the fifth. I'm the fourth, Joseph Frank. He's the fifth.
Wow.
And we call him Frankie, but he's got the lineage. He's the fifth. So we had to go with that for the first boy. And then we had the baby girl. And we toyed, actually, because Sonny can work female, male. You know, it's very mm-hmm. cute either way. But yeah, that's like, if and when we do number three, and if and when that child is a boy, Santino, which will be shortened to Sonny. And, yeah, most badass name ever.
You know what? We'll just have a couple Dons, right? They'll just be taking over the world. Let's bring the mafia back. Yeah.
My wife always gives me a hard time. She's just like, can we have something a little less mobster? I'm like, it's not about, no, it's good. Sonny Molinaro, come on. That sounds so great. She's like, yeah, that's exactly my point. I'm like, all right, yeah, that's, but I've stayed on her about it literally since like we were engaged. So it's, this has been a work in progress, folks. Sometimes
so you're
it takes
eager for three. Like you're ready to go that route. You're already thinking about the third child.
Well, no, it's more so, you know, it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Parenthood with Steve Martin back in the day, but he's like that line when they find out they're pregnant again, he's like, let's have a dozen and we'll name them after donuts. And so that's kind of where I am right now. It's like, we have our two, but it is just fun to think about like the name and all of that for more future children. At least that's something I've always been big on. You know, I'm big on like, you got to have a cool name.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's not many accountants named Tiger or LeBron, you know, like to do cool things. Like you got to have a cool name. I'm a big believer in that. You know what I mean? Like you're not going to have a legendary athlete. Not that I will probably because I don't have the genes for it, but like I think you're setting them up if you have a cool name like that. So to me, I'm like Sonny Molinaro, Santino Molinaro, that plays. You can hear that, the PA at a baseball game, now batting number 7, Santino Molinaro. Like that gets people's heads turning. You know what I mean?
Totally. And I'm trying to think of like obscure Steeler players because my face just blew up like the sun there. We're good. I'm trying to think of obscure like Steeler players that would fit, or maybe like the diehards remember the name, but you kind of pump new, like Amos Zaraway. I don't know who else comes to mind that.
Oh God. I could Amos Zaraway. Just stop right there. That is,
that's a power name
right there. You know, it's funny. Like I'm a big Chris Fool Matafala guy.
Yes.
You know, and so Chris is, I can't really do anything with Fua Mata Maafala, but I still, that's like one of my dreams in life as well. One, have a kid named Santino. Two, find a Chris Fua Mata Maafala Steelers jersey. And I haven't been able to succeed at either so far. So I'm kind of bummed. But Amos Zaraway can even get down with a Yancey Thigpen. I mean, I don't hate that.
Bad drop, though. Bad drop at Lambeau Field.
I know. But, you know, that comes to mind from back in the day. Troy Polamalu is my favorite player of all time. So I think Troy would work, too. But then you get a little High School Musical. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you name it, then all of a sudden, in my head, I'm like, I would introduce him. And then there's a good possibility that somebody from my generation could be like, oh, like Troy Bolton. And be like, no, actually, not like Troy Bolton. Like Troy Polamalu, the baddest MF-er to ever play. And the second, you know, like that would really upset me. So
yeah.
I'm sticking with Santino. I'm staying with Sonny. I think it plays. I know it plays. And now I just got to find a Chris Fuamata Mafala jersey somewhere.
Love it. You know, Greg Lloyd, too. I'm just thinking, I don't know how you'd incorporate Greg Lloyd into anything, but all-time badass. I mean, he's probably one of my favorite players. Just ruthless. But anyways, your rise. I mean, we're talking about being a dad. I can't imagine. How do you balance everything, Joe? I mean, you're going to school for broadcasting, right? And you want to make people laugh. You've got this skill. Mm-hmm. And you just all of a sudden kind of take a detour that route. And now you're larger than life and you're doing these shows. We're talking about sports impressions. I mean, your modern Seinfeld sketches are unbelievable. Everybody should check them out if you haven't yet. The Big Game, The Accidental Like. I mean, I'm sure this should be its own Instagram show or wherever you put it out regularly. I think everybody would tune in like they tuned in for Seinfeld because it's unbelievable. I just can't imagine. How do you find time to be a good dad and yet capitalize on this fame? I mean, that not overnight. I guess you've been at it for a little while, but I mean, shit, you're talking to Jimmy Fallon and meeting. I mean, who else have you met? I can't imagine all the celebrities that you've run into.
Yeah, man, it's been it's truly just been a dream. I think I may have said it when I talked to Eric Wood, but like, you know, I think it's natural for everybody, whatever career you're in, position you're in your life, you kind of sit and you're like, man, am I doing enough? Am I where I want to be? But I think, you know, it's important to look back as well and say, oh man, if 25-year-old me knew what 30-year-old me was doing and who I'd be interacting with and what my life would be, he'd be over the moon. You know, so and so that's where I am right now. It's just like, man, it is. It's been wild. It's been so much fun. It's been scary. It's been hard. It's been all the things, man. It really has. But I think it's like when you're a little fresh baby like that in college, right? Like you said, when I was studying broadcasting and I was working part-time radio and all that, like to kind of go with another, you know, Mel Kiper parallel, like you're one pumpkin pie, right? Like you're a full pumpkin pie at that phase in your life. And then, you know, all of a sudden you get married and that's a slice away. And then you buy a house and that's another smaller slice. And then you have kids and that's like half of your pie. And so little by little, all these people and these things are taking that part of that slice of you. You know what I mean? And so then all of a sudden now I still have that me and it's in this little corner slice that we're really excited about and to load it up on whipped cream. But I have to make the absolute most out of that little slice as often as I can. So that's kind of where I'm at is like, you know, I sneak away when I can. My wife, luckily, she's a saint, and she takes care of the house and she takes care of the kids. And so I can come and do interviews with folks like you, and I can run down to the basement and talk to myself in different voices for like 45 minutes and then come up and put together a video. And that's like an hour and a half, you know. So it's all just about balancing those slices, man. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am right now is unfortunately it's really tough to get something out every day consistently like I used to. But you know, I just make the most of it when I can and try to just load up that slice with as much as I possibly can and get it out to people and hopefully they enjoy it.
I think maybe what helps you too is you can be yourself as your celebrity rises. I can't imagine you ever changing or big time in anyone or needing to feel like I need to kind of change how I think and change how I act because you're incorporating like real life situations and real life jokes into these sketches that go viral. I mean, you're just kind of being yourself. Maybe like the one on with you and your buddy when you're naming random football players. I mean, we've all done Benedict. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Like my college roommate came up to visit once and we went to Niagara Falls and the whole weekend we played this, we called it the quarterback game. We'd name a team and then me, Jimmy Paul, and my brother Austin, we'd take turns just listing off. And if they could have had a cup of Joe with the Tennessee Titans, you know, in training camp, but you just go take turns going back and forth and it's last man standing for each team. And that's literally all we did the whole weekend. So that sketch is probably something that you and Benny just did for fun, right? Like, hey, let's turn this into an Instagram video.
There's nothing more fun than that. What you just described, I mean, you give me a cooler of beverages, two other guys. I don't even care. It doesn't have to be friends. Just two other guys. Like, and we start naming those. Like, the greatest satisfactions in life, it's like hitting a birdie putt, you know, hitting a drive down the fairway. The Masters are on the mind right now. So hitting a birdie putt, nailing a drive right in the middle of the fairway and absolutely bagging some random backup quarterback for the New York Jets and where he went to college. Like that, if you do that, there's no greater feeling in the world. And to your point, that's all I want to do. That's all I ever want to do. And I want to get to the point to where we're talking. I told Ben, I was like, I want to do one where we're naming NFL referees. It's like, yeah, people could talk about the quarterbacks or the wide receivers, but what do you got to say about little Craig Rolstad? You know?
That's next level. That's next level. I love it. And then, like, the same name will come up. I remember, I think, like, We're like, oh, did Tony Banks, spend a week or two in training camp with the Cleveland? It's
Right, right.
Matt Leinart was with the Bills briefly. That was a go-to late in the game. You're really digging into the barrel the deeper you go. But that's got to
Absolutely.
help you. I mean, you're just yourself when you do these, right? I mean, that's got to make it rewarding.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I grew up in a South Side Catholic school of Indianapolis, and it's one of those where, everyone's parents went to that school. A lot of their grandparents went to that school, right? So it's all the same families. And, I had like seven guys in my wedding party. I think five of them were in my fourth grade class with me.
Wow.
I'm just surrounded by people that I've known forever that would keep me grounded, if anything. Like, you know what I mean? If I were ever to really, really make it big, or start being an asshole, like, these people would check me pretty quick. Same with like my sister and her husband. Like, I think they don't think anything I do is cool. Like, if I landed SNL, they would just be like, "Huh, yeah, it's about time." Like, something like that. Like, they're just those kind of people that, like, they really make sure that I love that at all times. That's just community I grew around. Those guys. Friend was actually went up with me to Buffalo to show and have some wings and whatnot. So I was like, yeah, dude, come up. So been very, very lucky, like, got the best support system and crew around me, who are also, they would check me and keep me level-headed, but also they're the most encouraging. Like, when I was 20, 21, 23, and nothing was happening, and I wasn't getting the jobs I wanted, and 24 and 25, and it still wasn't. I was frustrated. Those are all the same people that were just like, "Hey, man, like, keep, you know what I mean? What you're doing's cool. Like, keep going." So that's really, really helped a lot, man. I'll always be indebted to those people for sure.
It's the American dream. I mean, that's amazing to have that, to not feel like you need to pump the brakes and no, this isn't working. I need to go this other way. Like, you have a passion, you chase the passion, and you stay true to who you were, and here you are. I think that's what everybody kind of strives for in life, in any field. I mean, who were like your comedic inspirations? Like, did you have comedians or people that you looked up to, admired, that kind of helped? Here, I feel like now I'm at the combine interview and asking the prospect, what running backs did you study on film? So sorry about that, but
If you were, Jim Harbaugh or Nick Sirianni, you would ask if they had a sex addiction, or ask
right.
if they wanted to play rock, paper, scissors to see how competitive they are. Yeah, dude, so many. Adam Sandler, Jimmy Fallon, Dana Carvey. Those are kind of like my big three. Just because, I was always like, man, I'd love to make movies like Adam Sandler, and he has all his friends work with him, and he's the best, and he's the funniest, and seems like the nicest. And like, my whole life, my dog's name is Happy, for God's sake. I mean, my whole life is just, it's all been about Adam Sandler. And then as I got older, I was like, oh wait, like, Jimmy Fallon, he does characters and he does impressions, and Dana Carvey, he does those too, and he's a legend for that as well. Johnny Carson throwback. I like to really try to, like, embrace and appreciate, the elder statesmen and the people who have been there for a while and did it way back in the day. Obviously, David Letterman, because he's from the town that I'm from. So it's like, hey, maybe if that guy can make it, I can make it too. So that would say that's kind of like my extended Mount Rushmore, if you will, that really, like, drove me to, hey, I want to be like them. Hey, I think I have something, you know what I mean? Like, Jimmy does voices and Dana does voices, and they do these sketches, and I think I could do that too. But I mean, the list goes on and on, man. It really does. But those are my main for sure.
Dana Carvey is underrated at this point. I find myself kind of going down those YouTube rabbit holes from like the early 90s SNL, like Massive Edwin Harry and Lyle the
So good.
effeminate heterosexual. Like, there's so many characters he had that were legendary.
That, and my favorite, I think, is when he did Tom Brokaw, and it was Tom Brokaw recording everything that could possibly happen, so he never had to miss a story. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
I haven't seen that. No.
Oh, dude, look it up. So he breaks every story possible. So it's just like him being like, Gerald Ford died today after being attacked by wolves. And so that they keep escalating the situation so that no matter what happens, he broke the story, even if he's on vacation. So good. So funny. But yeah, I mean, just, it was all about just like seeing people like that, that I felt like I was similar to that, you know, could give me some inspiration of, hey, maybe I could do that too.
I mean, you've got a right too. So the modern Seinfelds are long and they all come around and things connect. So it's not like you're just kind of flying on the seat of your pants, throwing back a glass of bourbon and doing it. I mean, you're sitting down to like write a script, especially for those.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's really what got me into, that was the really big light bulb moment and really made me have a big itch that I wanted to scratch, if you will, in this world. Is I was in college, I was studying sports broadcasting and just broadcasting in general. And I took this class called Writing for TV, and I was a junior in college, and I thought, like, going into it, I just took it because I was like, yeah, this checks off a box. Like, I'm sure that'll teach me how to write newscasts for TV, you know? Like, not necessarily really what I wanted to do, but whatever. And I get there, and it was all about writing comedy and writing comedy for television and the ins and outs of that and how to put a script together and how to build characters and how to write a spec script. And I learned what that is and how to develop a TV series. And I'll never forget, after like the third class or the second class, I was just like, to my professor, I was like, I can get paid for this. Like, people will get paid for this. And he was like, yeah, like if you're good enough. Yeah. And I was just like, holy shit. This is the best thing ever. Like, this is so the writing portion is really, that was before I even thought about putting out videos or acting or any of that. It was just like, wow, this is so satisfying to put together a script and punch up these lines. And then we had this, I remember we all did table reads. That was like our final project. We had to put together a spec script for an existing television series. And I did Family Guy. And I did it, and I was like, man, I don't really know. Like, I think this is funny, but who knows? And we did this table read, and like, man, I got a ton of laughs, and my lines that I punched up like hit. And it, from that point, it got in me and lit me up. You know what I mean? And it really was like, oh, this is it. This is the, if I could find a way to do this, that's what I want to do. And so, yeah, as much as, you know, and rightfully so, I mean, I'm not like mad at anybody for this, but as much as everybody wants to talk to me about the impressions or have me do impressions or any of that, like, that was all just a way to hopefully crack through a little bit, you know, to get noticed a little bit. Another feather in the cap, if you will. But what really gets me going and what I'm really passionate about is putting together those scripts for the modern Seinfeld, for the modern Office, for, you know, some of the other original sketches that me and Ben do, or that I just do myself. Like, that is really what I'm trying to do and why I love the most. And I think that's part of, you know, why I've had so much fun with stand-up, is that I can incorporate the impressions, but also have a greater story to be told, a greater bit to elaborate on. That's not just, okay, Al Michaels talking about Star Wars, or, you know what I mean? Which is great, but that's really what gets me going.
It's tough. I mean, stand-up is difficult, right? I mean, how was that?
It is.
Did it come natural, or is that really something you've got to do your homework and work on too? I mean, you're standing in front of a room, which in a lot of ways is, there's more pressure, even though you've got, you know, a million people watch a clip on Instagram. There's something a little intimidating about being in that room with all those people.
Yeah, no, it sucks. Like, it's the highest
build
of
up
highs
the pressure for Buffalo, right? Yeah, gotta
right. Yeah, no, it's the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. But yeah, I mean, I think it just, you know, like anything else, it just took like figuring out, how I want to do it, how I want to be, you know, like getting down what works best for me and my act, and then putting it together. And to your point, you know, just like, you know, a modern Seinfeld script is really a kind of a giant puzzle piece. You know, I take, okay, here's what's going on with George. Here's what's going on with Jerry. Here's the problem. Where does Kramer come in? Bang, 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 bang. And here's how it comes together. Same thing, you know, with a stand-up act. You know, like, okay, I want to talk about this. I want to do this. I want to hit on this. How do I weave it together to hopefully be coherent and not just like I'm jumping back and forth from bit to bit or whatever it is. So, yeah, that giant puzzle piece, man, that's really what makes it fun.
Writing a story. You probably grew up watching Seinfeld, or maybe, no, we're about the same age. It's kind of like going back that second wave and watching it a lot. I mean, how into that show were you?
Oh man, that's like,
that's what it is.
The Seinfeld, you know, theme is just ingrained into my head from, you know, being on like a Tuesday evening in 1998, when I was 5 years old. You know, the laugh track and the music and Kramer's entrance, you know, that's like, yeah, just, those are my childhood memories right there. And so, yeah, I mean, I just grew up with it. My parents always referencing it. And then once I got to be of age, you know, when I was a teenager and a young adult, I was like, oh, okay, I get this. I relate to this. This is funny. I understand now. And then, yeah, I mean, it being on Hulu and Netflix and everything, and it's so watchable, you know, to just be able to throw on, really formed, I mean, it formed a big part of my personality. You know, I'm very much like, I find myself, you know, I'll even say it to my wife or to some of the people in my life, I'm like, all right, sorry, that was a little Costanza. It's like I have to get it out of me. It's like a sneeze. I have to make this observation. I have to say what I don't like about it. And then I'm like, okay, I won't be that way anymore, but I just have to say, this is stupid and it drives me nuts. And then that kind of goes into Larry David too. Like, I was a late bloomer into realizing Curb and so much of what Larry David has done, which, you know, he has become later in my life, you know, kind of probably taking the place of some of those guys I mentioned earlier, just because I'm like, if I could have a show like that where I break down and make fun of and put myself or these characters in these situations, like the accidental, like you know, the binge with Netflix or whatever, these things that I've done and the characters that he's created, I mean, that's the ultimate dream, because it's the stuff that, you know, me and a couple of my buddies who are on the same page, that's all we talk about too. You know, like talking about like how somebody is, if a guy greets you with buddy, you know, it's like, hey, I got buddied. And then, what do you mean? Yeah, he buddied me. He said, hey, buddy. And it's like, yeah, no, my wife's like, yeah, it's a friendly greeting. I'm like, oh, there's a little bit of in there. I don't like that he called me buddy. I don't know him. Right, yeah. Right, exactly. And so then it's like, okay, well, what about a pal? Sometimes I say pal. So it's all these different things that you break down that it's not important in the grand scheme of things in life, but when you really think about it, it is, because that's all life is those little, yeah, tiny moments that we live through on a daily basis.
I hate buddy. It's like that. It's like a stranger immediately. Second one, putting himself above you. Like, you are beneath, mm-hmm, me, buddy. You're, mm-hmm, like, it's the least friendly, least buddy-ish comment to make is calling somebody buddy. And you're right. That's, yep, life. Completely. Perfectly, that's life, said. Man. Favorite Seinfeld episode?
Man.
You got to pick one.
It's so funny because they all just run together so much now, because I've watched them so many times, and usually it'll just be like on a loop on Comedy Central, yeah, or on Netflix when I'm going to bed. So it's like differentiating them is tough. The Chinese restaurant comes to mind. Because I just think it's so genius to have it all in one spot. Again, the whole point of the show, like I said, it's like what everybody does all the time. You're going out to dinner and you're pissed about not getting your name called. And that's a full 23-minute episode of comedic television. Yeah. That's beautiful. I was just watching that one last night. Obviously, everybody loves a contest. Yeah, I'd say probably the Chinese restaurant.
Love it. That's a classic too. It's a foundational episode. You're right. It was early on, right? Early
Pretty early.
Seinfeld. Yeah.
Pretty early. And it's like, almost looking back, it's like, damn, that could have been like, people could have been like, what is, I mean, what am I watching here? You know, like
I know it.
when they're talking to the NBC exec, what's his name? I can't remember the short guy, but when George is just like, what'd you do today? I had coffee, went to work. That's a show.
That's a show.
That's
That's a show.
the show. What happens on the show? Nothing. Something has to happen. Like that whole thing plays out. That could have happened right there. We could have all been the NBC exec being like, what? Nothing happened. I don't get it. But that's the genius of it. And that's why it works so well and inspired me and millions, I'm sure, of others to pursue a life in this crazy world.
You have taken the baton and sprinted with it, Joey. You just do unbelievable work everywhere. I mean, I'm not on TikTok. I'm resisting TikTok, but I know you're huge in that world as well. But Instagram, Twitter, you can find Joey all over the place. YouTube.
Thanks, man. No, you should. Yeah. Well, it's funny that. How old are you? Sorry to ask.
36.
36. Okay. Yeah. So you're right. We're about in the same range where it's like, I have a few of my buddies that they're just like, nope, put my foot down. We're already getting into that phase. We're already phasing out from the young man phase to the old dad who's
Oh
just like,
yeah.
don't want to do it. I'm gonna be stubborn. I'm gonna wear my New Balances and I'm gonna say nope just because I'm gonna say nope and everybody else is doing it and we're already getting to that point. But I respect it because I have a few friends, like I said, that they're just like, not doing it. I'm not giving in. And as if it's like some weird pride thing about it. But
Yeah.
it is hilarious. It is a big time waster. So I applaud you. I know you're a very busy man for not getting on there. But I do recommend because it is quite funny.
Say this though, like I still I'll piss away time on the Instagram reels, and there's so much crazy shit going on in the world. We need Joey Molinaro and we need Johnny Hamcheck. I think you two are going to help us get through any tough time, because I cry. I mean, I'm in tears, a puddle of
Thank
tears.
you, man.
Just this morning I was watching some of your old stuff, watching Johnny Hamcheck screw with people in public, and my wife didn't know why I was crying. I said I'm sorry. I want to end with this though, if you can. So I don't know if you know this little Buffalo history. It was our first story at Go Long. This would have been November of 2020, and we had the piece on Terry Pegula, the Buffalo Bills owner. He loved Patrick Mahomes. He believed in Patrick Mahomes before anybody. I mean, we're talking September, October of his last year at Texas Tech. And my podcast co-host Jim Monas, he was Doug Whaley's right-hand man. And it was like, he's in that position of, okay, Terry, let's calm down and let's let this football season play out. They hire Sean McDermott. They decide not to take the quarterback right out of the chute. They trade out of the pick. Not a bad consolation prize getting Josh Allen the next year. But if you would like to humor us, I would like to hear what Patrick Mahomes' press conference would have been day one as Buffalo Bill. So, go back in time. The Bills draft Patrick Mahomes. He arrives at One Bills Drive, and he has this to say to a Super Bowl starved city.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited to be here. I mean, I'm just glad to be anywhere they want to take me because I know coming out with a voice like this, like not a lot of people will want to draft me, but I'm super excited to be here. I know it's a big wing town, so maybe you guys can make a suggestion about where to go. I don't know what you put on them. I don't know if it's ranch or blue cheese. Okay, it's not ranch. Not ranch on the wings. Okay, I understand that, Buffalo, but I'm a big ketchup guy, so I don't know if you dip your wings in ketchup. Maybe you do a boneless situation. Oh, we don't do boneless here either. Okay, bad start. No boneless, no ranch on the wings, but I'm super pumped to be here. I know we're all going to be drowning in wings and money and everything good when I bring a Super Bowl to you guys here in just a few years.
That was magnificent. Joey Molinaro is coming to Buffalo, New York this Wednesday, 8 o'clock, Helium Comedy Club. I'll be there. I can't wait to check it out, Joey. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. And
Man.
what could have been Patrick Mahomes in Buffalo. At least we gave the fans a little taste.
Right. Yeah. No. Joy, honor to be here. Great to talk to you, pal. Can't wait to see you. Hopefully see everybody out there. Let's see, officialjoeymolinaro.com. Get tickets are on Helium's website at Buffalo, Buffalo Helium. And, yeah, like I'll be doing some voices, I'll be doing some jokes, some stories. So, you know, I want to give everybody, like, it's not just pull the string and let you go. I know you've seen a lot of that recently, probably, because I've been lucky enough to go on Ty's show and NFL Network and all this stuff. But yeah, so you get a little bit of that, you get a little bit of this, you get a little bit of a lot of different things. So hope to see everybody there. And Ty, thanks so much, dude.
It is going to be what everybody should do Wednesday night. We'll have all the links here at Go Along in the post as well. So make sure you get tickets. Joey, thank you so much, man. Can't wait to see you in person, and you are welcome back anytime.
All right, man. Peace.